It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
See? That was a great story that will never...
It wasn't that great.
See the light of day. No, my part.
Was. Oh, sorry.
It was a long, boring story that ended with a great joke. Anyway, hello and welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world that comes from a place of love. That's right, listeners. Those other podcasts don't love you, at least not how we love you. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 138.
Wait, what?
68. Sorry. Wow, a little time warp there.
Just killed 30 episodes, 30 weeks, almost a year.
Why did I say 38?
Because you hate the last 30 episodes we've done.
No, it's because I was thinking about something else while I was saying that.
Sorry, William is soon to turn 138.
I'm preoccupied because we were having a conversation right before this started, and it's all that stuff is still in my head.
The long, boring one I mentioned.
Yes, sorry everybody, 168. But why would, you know, if I'm going to be preoccupied and say the wrong number, why 38? Why not 28 or 88 or...
I have a theory that involves a sinister other power, but anyway, we don't have time for that.
Weird.
For those of you who have never heard our podcast, welcome. And, huh?
They're probably about to turn it off, so...
Let me break it down for you. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address. That email address is themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Once again, that is themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And people, fine people like yourselves, pillars of the community, send emails to that email address with comments, topics, questions, things like that for us to talk about. The hat on its own magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the email information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. We draw those out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for an hour. Or today, 2 hours. But for you guys, an hour, and then a week, and then another hour. Because we're doing double again, like we did last time.
Mm-hmm.
Because William loves you slightly less than I do.
I mean, imagine that. Imagine, just think of a hat that you have sitting around your house, and that every time you reached into it, you pulled out a little slip of paper with something written on it. And after a little investigation, you realized, oh, this is coming from a email address that this hat has all on its own that I didn't even create. And I didn't write on the card. It's magic.
You definitely did not do any of that.
No. Unbelievable. And we've done this 138 times already.
Yep. We're going to cover plus, 137. This is 138 now.
Plus 30 more that we somehow forgot. Yes. Because I don't know what's wrong with me.
Anyway, yeah, we're going to do double duty because next week... William has a thing, or William potentially, you have family visiting, and you want to keep the time free.
Well, I have most of my family lives in the Des Moines area, and but one of my brothers has lived various places far away, and currently that place is Alaska. And this is the first time he's going to have been back in 4 years. And he'll be coming into town.
When he was last here, there wasn't even a podcast.
No. But he'll be here on Sunday, and I might not be able to get back and see him myself until the following Saturday, which is the day before he leaves. However, there might be a way for me to get back earlier, in which case I might not be around
on
Thursday.
You don't want to be like, I have to drive. Yeah. And it actually works out really well for us, too. The producer leaves Sunday night for a business trip, and she comes back later on Wednesday night. And normally... We're getting to that! And normally Wednesday night is date night, but we won't be able to do it because she will just have come back and probably will come back late and stuff. So we're just going to move date night to Thursday when normally we would have a podcast.
And the birthday part?
Is completely unrelated, but her birthday is this Saturday.
Oh, this coming Saturday?
Yes.
Oh, well, happy birthday, producer. I'm sure I'll forget before that day happens because I forget everything. Like,
yeah,
30 podcasts.
Some of those Amazon boxes you see are her birthday presents.
Excellent.
Which she wants to open. And my defense against that is to say, okay, if you really want to. And then she pouts and says, you're no fun, and leaves the room.
I see, because the whole point is for you to say, no,
exactly.
Don't do it.
She used to be so annoyed because I wouldn't let us have a dog. And then one day I was like, okay, if you want to get a dog, let's work on it. And she's like, oh, but we don't have a fence, and I don't know if we're ready. And I was like, that's what I thought.
You think you're so clever.
I told her we can raise chickens. Do you see any?
Oh, man.
Yes, I ordered you a puppy from Amazon. It's still in the box, but you're not allowed to open the sealed box until your birthday.
It's an instant puppy.
Because I'm an asshole.
Instant puppy. Just add water.
Just that dog.
I think no matter how clever you think you're being, she's always a step ahead of you.
As I told somebody the other night, I said, Trish is one of the few people I concede of being my intellectual superior. And then I said, that's not true. Trish is one of the few people that I consider in my head to be my intellectual superior. She is literally the only person I will openly concede to being my intellectual superior. And we were with my gaming group, and Dan was getting very excited and smiling and kept raising his hand. And I finally said, yes, Dan? And he said, am I? And I laughed. And I said, no, honey. You're one of those people I'm willing to openly concede is adorable. And then he looked sad. Anyway, how were your 2 weeks?
Now, here's the thing about that. I do have things to talk about, but I don't want to do that, because there's a few things. I don't want to do that, and then after I've gone on for 20 minutes, you're all disappointed because you had a whole bunch of stuff to talk about, and I, like, stepped on your time. So.
Well, we have 2 episodes again, so I could talk in the second one.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. All right, well... I don't know if I'll take up that much time, but a couple things. One, watching the animated Justice League from like early 2000s or something. Okay. And it's good. I like it. And I like Wonder Woman in it. I think they did a good job with her. The only issues I have with
She's the green one from Mars, right?
No. The only issues I have with it is there are 2 female members of the 7-person league, and I don't know why there are only 2. I mean... They could have balanced it out more. I don't know why they did
that. Dude, there was only 1 super friend that was a woman.
My point is, by the time you're in the early 2000s, someone should be figuring out, you know what, we could at least, even if we're going to have a 7-member team and it's going to be uneven, we could at least have 3 women and not just 2.
I agree.
2.
The Power Rangers figured it out by then.
That said, the way they treat the women in the series is very, I mean, it's... Like, they're normal people. They're not... You don't sense that they're trying to write the character to be a woman or a female in particular, nor do they seem to want to make a strong female character or whatever. They're just making a character that is doing heroic things just like the guys. And so I just get the sense that, you know, they're not overthinking it. They just have a female character that's doing heroic things, and I think that's pretty cool. But another problem I have with Wonder Woman in particular is I haven't watched I've only watched like the first season and a half, and so far, the Green Lantern is Jon Stewart, and
not from the Daily Show.
And he had sort of a romantic something or other happen in the show we just saw, which is like halfway through season two. But up until that point, nobody had any romantic type of story in the show ever, except for Wonder Woman twice. Now, to me, Wonder Woman's the perfect excuse to have a female hero that doesn't have any romantic anything going on. I mean, you know, she comes from an island that's got all women. You can either assume that you know, she's asexual and just not interested in that kind of thing. Or it always made more sense to me that she wouldn't, you know, that if she had an orientation at all, it wouldn't be heterosexual. And maybe you could do something with that. But if you're going to have it...
You're saying you think she's a furry? Is that
what I'm saying is that there are all kinds of excuses if you're making a cartoon to not really have her involved with anybody.
Yep.
And so far, Hawk Girl, who's the other woman on the team, hasn't really had any romantic whatever, except that now they're starting to suggest that maybe she and Green Lantern will hook up or something. I don't know. Which I find that weird anyway. You're making a cartoon. Why have any romance in it at all? Why, you know, why aren't the heroes too busy saving the world to worry about? I mean, you can imagine that while they're not saving the world, like, well, for example, you know, Superman is, out of all the people on the team, the Superman is the one who's known to have a very long-standing and important romantic entanglement in Lois Lane. And yet, so far, you've only seen him with Lois once, and it's not really in a romantic context. In fact, it was like in a dream or something. And he's not rescuing her or anything else. She's, you know, she just happens to be there. So, you know, why are we doing, do we have these two instances where, you know, there's something romantic going on with Wonder Woman, but none of the men except for John recently have that going on. So I don't understand that. That said, when they do handle romantic things with Wonder Woman, it's done tastefully and well, and it's not, you know, it's, there's nothing typically stereotypical about it in terms of, you know, her role in the romantic situation. So, you know, it kind of bothers me that they're doing it at all. But see, you know, even Marsden had her immediately. The thing that got her off the island was a Steve Trevor crash landed on the island and she fell in love with him and stuff. So, I mean, you can't get away from that aspect of her origin any more than you can get away from Lois Lane with Superman. So, but overall, it's a pretty good show, and I like how they're portraying Wonder Woman in it. So that's one thing I want to talk about. But the other thing is, we saw Godzilla.
Oh.
Did you see Godzilla?
I did not see Godzilla.
And
recently heard from one person who's seen it.
The only thing, there's two things I want to say about Godzilla. One, on the podcast some time ago, I expressed some concerns about what they were going to do with the character and everything.
You did.
None of those concerns were founded, it turns out, at all.
William doesn't know what he's talking about, people.
And I was very happy that I didn't know what I was talking about. It seemed like there were a couple lines in the film that were trying to alter the original story a little bit, but they were so vague and ambiguous that if you prefer the original story, you could go right on ahead thinking that that's... In fact, if you watch the 1954 version of, not the Raymond Burr 1954 version, right? Was that even in 54, or was it
Perry Mason versus Godzilla?
No. I mean, in 1954, they had the original, you know, the Japanese version of the film.
I'm going to pause for a second and tell you, absolutely whatever your question is about to be, I guarantee you I don't know the answer.
Well, anyway, the Americans got the property and they made a Godzilla movie at the appropriate, quote-unquote, for American audiences. Raymond Burr was in it. I don't know if that
fewer
was...
Fewer children in military
bases. I don't remember if... They just took out part of the story and replaced it with him talking about things so that the Americans would understand. I don't know.
Like Power Rangers.
But, and I don't remember if that was released the same year or not, but if you go to the original film, Japanese film, and you watch that, and then you watch this film, it's going to seem like a sequel. You know, because they even talk about their first encounter with Godzilla was in 1954 and all this cool stuff. So from where I'm sitting, either they were completely true to the original or you could easily, you know, interpret it that way. The monster looked great. The scenes with the monster looked great. All of it was just totally awesome. Everything in regard to Godzilla was great. I mean, and I'm not even a huge fan of these types of films or anything, and I thought it was really exciting and fun to watch.
I don't want to get too spoilery, but is it true that Godzuki makes them?
I'm not going to say.
Godzuki!
All of that said, everything in the film that was not directly related to the creature being on screen or talking about or giving some information about the creature, anything not related to that was terrible.
Oh, so it was Pacific Rim.
It was all of that stuff was so bad. The script was bad. The acting wasn't bad, but there's nothing the actors could do with what they were given. The plot and the, I mean, nothing made sense. It was terrible. Terrible. Now, one criticism of the film, what a lot of people will say is, you know, they didn't have enough screen time for Godzilla, and right when things were getting good, they'd cut away from Godzilla. And there's some validity to that criticism, but if you watch the early Godzilla movies, the first one and the ones at the beginning, you know, there's a lot of time taken before you even see Godzilla to tell the story, to get you interested in what's going on with the characters and things like that. And the stories are good, and the characters are interesting for the most part. I mean, after a while, it gets a little recycled and everything. So that part of the film where there's a lot of time before you even see the creature, and there's you're getting to know characters and all that stuff, that's in keeping with the original films too. And my argument is that if their storytelling in this film had been as good as the storytelling in the original Godzilla and some of the early films, then you wouldn't have minded so much taking the action away from the monster. Although I still think in some specific scenes they did cut away. It, you know, it's very much, the criticism is valid that things were just getting interesting and you cut away. But for most of the time when they cut away, it would have been the exact kind of timing they would have used in the original films, except they would have been cutting away to something interesting. And in this case, it wasn't interesting. And here's what it felt like. It felt like, as I explained before, there was the original 1954 version and then the Americanized version with Raymond Burr that was atrocious. It feels like the film I watched was the Americanized version of something that the Japanese made like earlier in the year and released that was tons better. And then the Americans changed it up.
Research it. It's totally possible.
Because I'm watching this and thinking, oh my gosh, this is the Raymond Burr version of this movie, not the original. Where's the original? But of course, there is no original.
It's called The Host.
But why was it so, I mean, part of it felt kind of like a Michael Bay kind of thing, because I'm getting the impression that Michael Bay doesn't make movies. He makes
explosions with dialogue around them.
He makes scenes that will be good in a preview.
Oh yeah.
And then he strings them all together.
Yep.
Not realizing that in a preview, if you show an action scene, you cut it just before it gets interesting, that makes people want to go to the movie. But if they're in the movie and you have an action sequence and you cut it just before it gets interesting, that pisses people off. And he doesn't get that. And that's kind of what this movie felt like. Like when they were making the scenes, it was almost like, oh, this would be cool in a preview. And they stopped it right where you would stop it in a preview. But it didn't work for the movie. But I think that if the storytelling had been better about the human people, because that part was just horrendous. So overall, I would say the film was a pretty big fail. But that said, I would advise anyone to go see it on a big screen because the Godzilla parts are really awesome.
Yeah, I'm guessing we probably won't. This weekend we're going to go see Maleficent. The producer's been very excited about that. I'm very nervous about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we haven't seen, you know, the second Spider-Man movie. We haven't seen, but
we haven't seen the first one either. So.
We haven't seen the second Captain America movie. So, you know, there's a lot of things we're just waiting on to see them on video. But yeah. Godzilla, for whatever reason, we decided, you know, let's go see it. And I'm glad I did, you know, for the Godzilla parts, but the rest of the movie was terrible. Really terrible. Although I don't, you know, if any of our listeners thought it was good, I don't, you know.
He hates you.
No, no offense. If you liked it, that's great, but I thought it was terrible.
Actually, for our listeners, for those of you who have Netflix, which I'm guessing is almost everyone, check through your Instant Watch again. I have recently discovered a few new sort of treasure troves that haven't been there before. In Bruges is on Instant Watch now. A bunch of Mystery Science Theater. They kind of took that away, and they brought it back, and they brought some of the later season ones with them, like the incredibly strange creatures who stopped living and became mixed up zombies, which is one of my favorite Mystery Science Theaters ever. The Joss Whedon Much Ado About Nothing is on there in Instant Watch. So check it out. Go do some browsing again, because they've added some stuff recently.
Hmm. Well, Netflix is what we're watching all those DC animated stuff on, although there's a lot of DC animated stuff that's only on disc. I'm probably going to watch, I was saying that there wasn't much in the 90s entertainment-wise that really did anything for me, but I realized that actually it was the 90s when they animated Batman, you know, the animated series. And I didn't have a TV at the time, so I didn't see it, but I probably would have watched that if I'd had a television. And a lot of the animated stuff, including what we're watching now, the Justice League thing, is very much in that look and that style, and I love it. So we'll probably get the discs and watch that and see if it's any good. But I know it will be, because for one thing, I really do like when Mark Hamill voices the Joker.
Oh yeah, absolutely. John DiMaggio does a great job, but yeah, Mark Hamill does something I don't even understand. Like,
well,
he gets that.
DiMaggio does this great Aquaman in Brave and the Bold.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just awesome.
That man can do so many damn voices. It's crazy.
It's excellent. I mean, we didn't know, but apparently that was sort of a breakout character for the series, because it was so well done. Just fun to watch. I mean, I think you'd even like it. But, you know, I thought Brave and the Bold was great.
All right, so hat?
Yeah, why not?
Might as well.
Well, what?
As long as we're here.
Rather than talking about you 2 weeks, like you said, you're going to do it next time.
Yeah, I would do it next time.
That's a good idea.
We're already over 20 minutes in.
So. Well, and I didn't have anything else to talk about anyway, so.
Thank goodness.
I know, because everything I have to talk about is boring.
I know. See, he wants to have conversations before we even start recording, and I'm like, dude, I don't get paid enough in that I don't get paid.
This one doesn't even say a non on it like sometimes they do. It's just blank.
Maybe the hat got tired of writing it on.
Okay.
And thought, the hat possibly thought it was self-evident that if there's no name. I guess if somebody ends a question with a name and no sort of punctuation, that could complicate things. But
donuts or bagels?
I feel like we've addressed it. I mean, everyone in the world knows your answer, but I feel like we've actually even had this specific topic before.
Well, yeah, I love donuts, but...
Yeah, pretty much donuts or anything.
But it seems like the only reason this question is being asked is because these two things have roughly a similar shape.
I see, at first...
But why, I mean, you might... Really, you might just as well be saying donuts or wheat bread or donuts
no,
or...
No.
Yeah, because
no.
The only reason these are being compared is because they have a similar shape.
At first, but no, there's more.
No, there isn't more. It's right here, donuts or bagels.
No, but I'm saying there's more to the connection.
And what is that?
I'm so glad you finally asked instead of just keep saying no. They're in this day and age...
No.
They are...
No.
Hey... Don't make me come over there. they are the primary cold breakfast on the go. Like, other than going and getting, like, a sausage, egg, and cheese something somewhere, primarily you go grab a bagel, you go grab a donut. And, corollary to that, when you bring in breakfast treats for your office, your department, 95% of the time it's one of those two. And in fact, where we used to work had bagel day every Wednesday, where they would bring in bagels for everybody, until at some point they decided they wanted to do donuts. And so they started donuts for a while, and then some people wanted bagels. And so then they started alternating Wednesdays. 1 week bagel day, 1 week donut day.
So what you're saying is this question is... What you're saying is that culturally, these are the most likely things people are going to have when they come to that in the work in the morning.
Culturally speaking, they both fit in a specific niche.
So the fact that they have roughly the same shape is completely coincidental.
In theory, if it's not, there's deeper layers. On a conscious level, I do think it is coincidental. But it's also a very deep cultural question at this point. Back in the day, it would not have been. Outside of certain places, the bagel was not as big a thing. And donuts, I mean, have been donuts forever and ever and ever and ever. So it wouldn't have come up. But at this point, if you don't want something savory, or at least not a hot bacon, egg, and cheese, whatever, those are basically the two options you have when you're going to grab something on the way to work. And if you want to bring in something, short of making something yourself or hitting Panera, and even if you hit Panera, you might get bagels. You have bagels or donuts. So I think this has become a very deep cultural question in this day and age. I've had many the argument and debate over it.
So, like, it's more along the... Because of all the complicated things that you just said, it's very much like a dog person or cat person kind of thing.
I think it is.
Bagel person, donut person.
Coke, Pepsi person.
Sure.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, very much. And it's and on that same level, we know it doesn't fucking matter. And most of us like both of them fine. We're not going to turn down one. But I think because it is safe, because it is safely insignificant, we will argue about it till the cows come home.
No. No, no, no. No, I think you're absolutely right.
And actually, it's a struggle I have internally often.
Well,
I love them both.
Yeah.
And sometimes, frequently, I mean, they are so different to me that certain moods, you know, usually dictate, but there are sometimes I just can't decide. Interestingly, which do you think is worse for me from a diabetes perspective?
Well, I mean,
I guess I telegraphed it slightly by saying, well, interestingly.
I don't, because, yeah, by saying that, you're making it sound like the obvious answer is not the correct one.
Yes.
But how can that be?
Well, what to use the obvious answer?
Well, the obvious answer is the donut.
No. Yes, I know. That seems the obvious answer. But it's not.
No. No.
Well, there's a couple reasons also.
No, Tony.
Ounce for ounce, a donut is going to be smaller than
a
bagel.
No, Tony.
But
Tony, no.
The main... You really love this new persona, don't you?
It's not so much that. It's just... Nothing.
That you don't believe me?
No, it's just, your reaction is funny. I mean, even though it's just a joke and you're taking it as a joke, I can tell there's a small part of you that's really annoyed. And somehow that amuses me, and that's terrible. Mm. I'm sorry.
This is why we can never be married. Also, why are you married?
You know, that's an interesting thing. Technically, a person can get married as many times as they want. They just can't have more than one marriage license, right? Or, like, apply for
them. Oh.
Right? I mean,
okay.
If
yeah.
you...
So you could have a bunch of common law?
No. No, you wouldn't. I'm saying that if you went to a church that said, yeah, you can marry 16 times if you want, you could get married 16 times. It's just the state is only going to recognize one of those marriages as the real deal.
I think so. I don't know.
Well, how can they stop you? It's not like you don't...
I don't know, but it's like a major plot of shows like Big Love and stuff like that.
Well, but... No.
Because, I mean, that's more the
I think that's
social outcast aspect.
Yeah, isn't that that's why they?
I don't
can
know.
Do it.
I didn't watch that show very much, but I know it got freaky enough where they were like killing people and stuff. And I'm like,
I think that's why they can do it because they don't care if the state recognizes their marriages as long as the church does. Mm. And if the state only recognizes one as valid, or maybe they don't register any of them with the state. Who cares what the state thinks or does? So you can get married as many times as you want.
Man, this is the lamest proposal I've ever heard.
I'm not proposing to anybody. But I interrupted whatever you're going to say.
Oh, yeah. About how, in fact, bagels are worse for a diabetic than donuts.
Wow, you remembered! I can't believe you remembered.
I remember. As I said, there's an obvious issue in that if you take a donut and you take a bagel, there's more to the bagel. Like, it's I believe it's going to be heavier and unsurprisingly
denser, sure, yeah.
And that's some of it.
Oh, too. Is it carbohydrates? Is that what it is?
Carbohydrates is the thing. A donut, while it has some, approximately, I believe the estimate I usually do for a standard donut is about 22 grams of carbs.
Mm-hmm.
A bagel has 60.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What the donut has is fat. Quite a bit more fat than in a lot of the bagels. But the fat is not the issue to a diabetic.
No, that's right.
And realistically, the fat should not be the issue for most people who are having weight.
Well, see, the thing is, I wasn't even thinking about carbohydrates. I was just thinking about sugar. Like, it's got this glaze.
Yeah, it's got... And that's the thing. You think of what's the biggest carbohydrate is sugar.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, sort of, but... Just plain white carbs.
Yeah.
Which is what bagels are.
Yeah, I didn't really think about that
part. I mean, because they're also that high a carb, and it's not like they're countering with a lot of fiber or anything.
No, right.
It's just, it's tasty, chewy, circular white bread.
But the thing is, I can eat a bagel, and, you know, it's just eating a bagel. If I eat a donut, especially if it's you know, first thing in the morning, and it's like a Krispy Kreme or something, I'll react to the sugar. I don't think I get a sugar buzz because that sounds too pleasant. And it doesn't feel pleasant to me at all. It's more like a sugar, like I'm dizzy and I am going to fall over kind of thing. Man. I can get that from a donut, but I would never get that from a bagel.
Well, and that's where it gets weird in certain circumstances because strictly from the carbs, bagels more, technically... Because it's in refined sugar state, and in some cases, pseudo-liquid glaze, it's going to spike much faster. So your blood sugar may not end up going as high, but it's going to go straight there, and then shortly after, straight down. From that perspective, you could argue that the donut is worse. But that would, from a diabetic perspective, that would depend on what state you're in beforehand, type 1, type 2.
Well, which is, that also corresponds to, it doesn't always happen. It's like I said, if I haven't eaten anything else, or...
My coworker has a kid with type 1 diabetes, and once a week they go and get a donut. They never go get a bagel. Hmm. Of course, she's very anti-bagel for that reason also, but...
See, then again, carbs, you know... I've never, people talk about carbs being something that if you eat too much of it, you're going to gain weight or whatever.
Yeah.
I've never had that. I mean...
I don't think you eat a lot of what would be called white carbs.
Well, I don't. That's true.
I don't think you eat a lot of anything full stop. and being the vegetarian near vegan you are, you also probably get a lot of fiber.
Well, and not very much fat.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually have to work at getting fat into my diet, but man, I can eat carbs forever, and I feel good when I eat them. Like,
yeah.
It gives me energy and for a long time.
If it's the right carbs in the right amounts,
and not just for a short time, but like for a long time, for like all day.
Well, and that's where the fiber often comes in. I actually since, not since my surgery, but recently. How do I avoid too much specific? Due to certain things, the nerve, like I had said before about my surgery, the nerve endings are not all working yet, and may not all, but at this point, you know, they're still in the process, but things aren't working, and consequently has lent a little bit of complication to certain aspects of my digestive system. That's as much detail as I'll go in there. But, so because of that, I've recently started taking supplements of soluble fiber specifically. And I notice a difference in appetite thing. And insoluble has that some too. Soluble more so, because soluble is more about bulk producing. And that's the interesting thing. People think fiber, you know, then you digest faster. You have bowel movements more and stuff like that. Insoluble fiber, that is true. Soluble fiber is actually the opposite, because it lets everything absorb the water, and so it sort of gains mass and stays there. So it'll actually slow down the process. But yeah, no, that I think that's a big difference. Fiber makes a huge difference with the thing, and you don't get that even from fat. Fat will metabolize slower, but it's not quite the same.
Well, and also, I mean, I think research is showing that everyone's metabolism is a little bit different, you know. I mean, one person can just eat one thing, like carbohydrates, for example, and just it'll never make them gain weight. They'll just get a lot of energy out of it. And someone else, if they eat even, you know, a little bit more carbs than their body needs, it's going to go right to fat. And it's just, some people are like that and some people aren't.
And the vast majority of that is genetics. Some of that involves issues of physicality from when you were younger, that eventually, like after puberty, are sort of there. And maybe a little bit involves more specificity of what the other person's doing, which carbs they're eating, stuff like that. But much, much, much more of it is all about genetics.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm, again, comfortable with not having children. I love my parents. I think they're wonderful people. Most of that wonderfulness, insofar as they can pass it on, has been passed on through how they raised me. At a strictly genetic level, I have several good arguments as to why we maybe don't need to send this line onward.
Yeah. I often, like, thought the same thing about
myself.
I love
you guys. I would love to raise children the way you raised me. I would not love to give children the tendency towards obesity, the tendency towards diabetes, the tendency towards hypertension, tendency towards general anxiety.
Yeah, and for my part, it's a tendency for congenital heart defects.
Prostate cancer also.
Type 2 diabetes, colon cancer, macular degeneration. I mean, there's a pretty long list of things that I'm thinking, man, even when I was in high school and some older relatives of mine were getting these genetic problems, and I was diagnosed with a congenital heart problem, I just thought to myself, man, I am not a good genetic catch. I don't know if a woman's ever going to want to have kids with me.
Well, and then, to add into it, you grab another person and say, let's go halvesies on this genetic stuff. And they've got all their own crap. So now my list is my list and Trish's list.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, great. Now, admittedly, because of that, it's more of a crapshoot whether or not they get the specific shitty gene.
Sure, sure.
But I'm like, how does anybody decide?
I don't know.
I think it comes to the end. And Trish and I talk about, like, you know, we, in our minds, would not live up to our own standards as parents. And that is a factor in us not having kids. But it's the same thing. Who the hell has the balls to think their genes actually live up to the, like, look in any family tree. You can be like, well, we live really long. We're crazy at the end. But we live really long. Or, you know, we never have heart disease. Our legs fall off around 45.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's another thing. I mean, there's, in my family, there's diseases that, geriatric diseases. So
yeah.
A lot of people in my family do live a long time, but they get dementia, they get Alzheimer's, they get Parkinson's. So what's the point in that?
Yeah.
Although I will say that you know, I have been involved with a couple women in my life who would potentially be women that I would have children with, and their genetics and their family tree was like really awesome, like, you know,
that they're willing to tell you.
Serial
killer in there.
No, they really were, and to the point where I felt like I must be some kind of freak to have such a bad genetic heritage, but I think they were the ones that were unusual.
You are not such a freak to have such a bad genetic heritage. You are such a freak. The reasons are different.
Yeah, but so yeah.
I thought you'd be worried that if you'd have kids, they'd be like really boring farmers. That'd be my worry if you had kids.
Yeah, I realize that'd be your worry if I had kids. No, I didn't want them to have congenital heart problems. I didn't want them to have what I've got. I didn't want them to, you know, hypertension runs in our family too. I don't have it, but it's there. So, you know, I didn't want any of that stuff.
You were worried about the farming thing.
No. You were worried about the farming thing.
I'm still worried about the farming thing.
Well, don't worry about it anymore.
I don't like you having contact with young people, because I'm worried you'll get them into farming.
Well, you know, it starts with them eating locally grown organic fruits and vegetables. That's the gateway. And then there's a little gardening.
You come via the interstate, right?
Yeah.
So you've seen at the Hy-Vee Drug Town the little cart that's out there.
I don't know.
It's a cart that long ago was a cart of some random farmer selling local produce.
Okay.
Hy-Vee has bought that cart, and they're putting Hy-Vee produce on there, which arguably is a little disingenuous and has been bothering the producer. Today, I actually saw they have a banner that says locally grown produce. And they've got, like, citrus on there.
Well, that's not impossible, but it's...
Right now?
Well, there are greenhouses that... local greenhouses that do. But you're right, that doesn't strike you as being local.
Yeah, there's some shit going on there.
It's local in terms of... economically local. Like, you know, there's a greenhouse and they've got...
Local in that we're here and your house is not far from here.
Right. But it's not local in the sense of we grow citrus here and it's...
This was also grown.
Yeah.
So it's local and it's been grown somewhere.
There are ways to grow those things here in out of season.
Yeah. Witchcraft and voodoo.
That's interesting if that were true. What would it be like to eat that citrus?
You turn into a zombie. 3 times. In college, we got confused for a little while, probably due to a lot of drinking. And at some point, we got the idea that the threefold law basically specified that anytime you do anything bad, 3 goats show up and beat the shit out of you. And that became our running bit for a while. And then it became, whenever you do something bad, 3 of whatever you did the bad thing to show up and beat the shit out of you. So, like, somebody screwed something up on their computer, and we're like, if you do that, 3 computers show up and beat the crap out of you. And that was our warning for everything. All right, I want to draw a question.
Yeah.
So be quiet.
Shh.
What color is that card?
It's blue.
I thought it was blue.
Which is weird, because, you know, ever since we recorded... our little project.
Yes, our video one.
Have we talked about that?
That we recorded it?
That we were going to do a video.
Yeah,
project.
No, we did talk about okay. that. We did actually record it. It is in the editing booth.
And it'll take a while because there's a lot of things we need to do it. But when we did that, the cards were colored for the first time I recall, and this one's blue, so light blue. Why does the hat have? Cards with colors
on
it.
The hat was caught in a tornado, and when it touched back down.
That's good.
Thank you. There's another anonymous one. What's your favorite web browser? Well, that's easy. Netscape, but specifically the iteration of Netscape that was on a computer lab computer. I think a Mac Plus in Grinnell in the, what was the building called? I don't remember. It was a specific one. How about you?
I don't have a favorite browser right now.
What browser do you use?
Well, for a long time, I just used Internet Explorer.
I did for quite a while.
Just for, because it was convenient for where, you know, what I was using, whatever. But then I decided, and I don't remember what made me decide to do this, that I was going to start using Chrome.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot remember why I decided to do that. And now I've used Chrome for a very long time. But I don't remember. I cannot tell you what made me decide to do that. Because for a long time, if I wasn't using Internet Explorer, like if something wasn't working on Internet Explorer and I thought, oh, it's the browser, then I would just go to Firefox. Chrome never even occurred to me, even though we had it installed and everything. But for some reason, I switched to Chrome, and I've been using Chrome ever since.
Well, I was all set to tell you that my starter was almost identical to yours, and then you kept adding details that did not match mine. So. But yes, for a long time. Well, and back in the day, I literally did use Netscape. I liked Netscape a lot.
When it was around, we used it, sure. Netscape, and wasn't there...
Well, and there were lots of other search engines. But Netscape was both a search engine and an actual browser.
Well, we used whatever there was that didn't have a favorite, just whatever was handy, basically.
But I've been using Internet Explorer for a very long time. And some of that was, as the years went on, Microsoft got more pissy about things, and so there were a lot of things that just wouldn't work. Except in Internet Explorer, even though there were a lot of things that wouldn't work in Internet Explorer because it was shitty. And then, I don't remember why either, but Chrome came out, and pretty early on, I decided to try it. I think I maybe even got an invite, like when you couldn't get it yet. Or maybe I'm confusing that with Google Plus. But pretty early on, I tried Chrome, and yeah, it just felt so much less clunky to me. I don't know. That would have largely just been the visuals, but it had a very stripped down feel. I basically, a few months ago was the first time I ever used Firefox full stop at all. And that was at work. Unfortunately, at work now, I use Chrome for all my personal stuff and all the work stuff that'll work in Chrome. There's some stuff that only works in IE, so I have to keep it for those things. And now I have a new program that will only work for me in Firefox. So I've got all three, and I have to use all three at different points. But at home, I've hidden Internet Explorer, basically. I wouldn't know how to access it on here. Just use Chrome.
Well, I think the reason... I'm starting to remember or recall that maybe the reason I started using Chrome was because... recently I started to build up my Aether Theater web presence and stuff. And, mm-hmm. There was YouTube and there was all this stuff. I was doing all this stuff with Google Plus, YouTube, and, using Gmail. And I think I thought, why don't I use Chrome? Because maybe all the Google products are optimized to work with Chrome, and that'll just make things easier.
Which I do think is still true.
So I think that's probably why I did it. Because I thought, while I'm doing all this Aether Theater stuff and I'm using all the Google products to sort of organize things and make community pages and all the other stuff I was doing, that do it in a browser that seems optimized for that. Now, whether it is or isn't, I don't know. When I started using Chrome, I didn't like it better or anything. I had to get used to all the differences and stuff, but now I'm just used to it. I guess I don't tend to think it's better than any of the other browsers. But yeah, we keep the other two around because sometimes something's not working in Chrome and I can go to Firefox and it works. Or something's...
Yeah.
Or I can go to Internet Explorer and it works.
For a while, AV Club was not working right for me in Chrome. It was something about Chrome and my antivirus made it really, angry. And so I used Internet Explorer. So what I eventually did was I made AV Club my homepage for Internet Explorer because that was literally the only thing I ever
Well, you know, there for. This is happening. I find this is happening more and more often that I run into these problems. And I feel like I have to switch the browser and then the other browser works. I feel like I'm back in the dial-up days where, a new faster modem would come out.
Yeah.
And then all of the web designers would go, "Oh, we can put more crap in our web pages." Yeah. So the people who couldn't afford or weren't early adopters of the new technology would go to a web page and it would take forever for it to load. It's like we're back in those days because there's, you know, you get to a page and you have to wait forever, and it's the ads and stuff that are loading.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can switch to another browser. And this seems to be happening a lot more lately. And what I think is going on is that everybody is developing things on their web pages, and they're integrating with ads and stuff specifically put together for mobile devices.
Yeah.
And so they're not paying as much attention to how the browsers are going to handle it. And so Internet Explorer might not handle this page very well for all of the stuff that's in there to work with the mobile device. And so it's got to wait for ads to load. Like Chrome, this is an interesting thing on the PC I'm using at home. When I'm using Chrome and I go to Huffington Post webpage, and I'm scrolling through there, it'll glitch out. I've got to, if I read anything on HuffPost, I have to read it on another browser. And it's because something about the ads are screwed up. But I'll bet on a mobile device it works fine, even if you're using Chrome
possibly,
or something.
Yeah.
So I think what's happening is you know,
it's the dinosaurs using regular
Well, computers. Yeah, I mean, everyone talks about how the laptops and PCs are going to go away because people are going to adopt mobile, but you develop mobile apps and mobile things different than you do for the PCs and the laptops. So you're going to start having problems with those web pages because they don't care about the glitches for that for you anymore, or they're going to put them at a lower priority.
Those web designers don't love you like we love you, people.
So I think that's what's happening. But it feels like being back in the modem days when page wouldn't load because it had all new graphics, and you know, people with better modems were seeing this page just fine, but you couldn't until you bought a new modem.
Speaking of design, this week's Humble Bundle Weekly sale is all centered around RPG Maker. So you guys should go check it out. You can get RPG Maker and a bunch of games for it and a bunch of DLC to make your own RPG games for as much or as little money as you want. So check it out. I bought it, like, immediately. That should probably be it. We're almost out of time, and we got to do another one anyway, so.
Okay.
All right. So if you'd like to write to the Hat, and you would, please do, to give us great content like donuts or bagels, or what's your favorite web browser? Can you beat those questions? I'll be curious. So write themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Again, write themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. You can sign your name, you can sign a fake name, you can sign no name, whatever. Also go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and listen to Jazz make insightful comments about what William said, and mostly the inconsistencies in it, and then read William through three posts totaling 1,000 words, clarify his original position. Also, occasionally I show up and I'm funny. And the producer shows up sometimes when William is more quiet.
Well, last time Jazz just said that she liked our discussion about karma. That's
and
all she
I
said.
I believe you posted a huge response clarifying.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, so do those things, and then meanwhile, we're going to sit and watch a video while this thing compresses, and then we're going to come back and do some more. You guys will have to wait a week, so go do that.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the Hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the Hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.